Are you looking for answers to the unknown? Welcome to Live with Medium Lisa Phoenix and step into the magical presence of the metaphysical realm. Lisa will share the wisdom and musings from her own experiences, have intriguing conversations with other mediums and healers, in addition to exploring a wide array of topics and teachings on intuitive and mediumship development. Lisa will be taking your calls and inviting your friends and loved ones in the spirit world to share their stories with us. Raise your awareness as you are reunited on the level of love, and let's go live with Medium Lisa Phoenix.
Everybody, and happy Sunday. It's a wonderful day in Southern California. Welcome to the Live with Lisa Phoenix radio show. I'm Lisa Phoenix, your host, a medium and energy intuitive. My show is all about healing, mediumship, and energy management, but I like to explore other avenues so you know what multiple opportunities are available to you. My special guest this morning is Elisa Medhus, a physician and mother of five who has practiced internal medicine for over 30 years. She's the author of 3 award-winning parenting books and has lectured on parenting for schools, parent groups, and corporations. After the death of her 20-year-old son, Eric, Dr. Medhus began journaling her grief in her blog, channelingeric.com. A strong believer in science, she formerly viewed spiritual matters and with skepticism. Once Eric began to communicate with family, friends, and blog members, her entire paradigm shifted. After devouring books on quantum physics, explaining the science behind spirituality, Dr. Medhus began her journey towards spiritual understanding and belief. Eric speaks to her from the other side with candor, wisdom, and depth as he describes his own experiences and provides new answers on the nature of souls, death, and the afterlife. I'd love it if you all would just go visit the blog at www.channelingeric, that's Eric with a K, ERIK.com/afterlife. Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Medhus. How are you?
Good morning to you, Lisa. I'm just fine.
Welcome to the show this morning. How is it? You're in Texas, correct?
I'm in Texas. Been there all my life. So you might hear a little twang every once in a while.
How wonderful. Now, you wrote a first book called My Son and the Afterlife, Conversations from the Other Side, and then your newest book, My Life After Death, A Memoir from Heaven. Now, that book's a little extra special. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yes. Well, the first one basically was my journey from being a skeptic to becoming a believer, and that was a long, rocky road. This one's different. It's Eric's memoir. So we channeled what he had to say about his own death, his heaven, his life as a spirit, etc., from the other side. So it's probably one of the most detailed accounts of the afterlife and death and spirit life that I've ever seen in my life.
Yes, it's a wonderful book. And it's also, I find it very comforting, you know, especially for people who have lost people, you know, to read this. I find there's a great deal of comfort in this book. Wouldn't you? Well, yeah,
that's true. A lot of people have said that they don't fear death anymore, for example, after reading the book.
Yes, I completely. And again, I think it's a comfort for any parent to read it as well, you know, who has lost a child, because it's you show his personality comes through, everything comes through, and you really kind of, it shows that you can have a relationship with somebody. It's different, but it is possible to have a relationship with somebody that's crossed over to the other side.
That's right. They're the same as they were. They just don't happen to have a body and the mental and physical ailments that may have plagued that body in life. So there really is no reason why you shouldn't be able to continue to have that, like you said, different relationship with your child or your loved one.
Right. Now, I do want to step back a little because some of my listeners may not know the background for this. So again, you were very skeptical. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that, about how this journey began?
Sure. First, I'll tell you a little bit about Eric. He was plagued with bipolar disease, Tourette's, learning differences, and other things. So he had a very miserable life. He was the target of a lot of bullying and so on. And eventually, the bipolar disease became a terminal one, and he took his own life. And, of course, I was devastated. I mean, that's the worst thing that can happen to a person, losing their child.
Yes.
And it was particularly hard for me because I was a scientist. I mean, as a physician, my whole world is science. And science taught me that for something to be real, you had to be able to perceive it with your senses or measure it with an instrument at least.
Gotcha.
And on top of that, my parents are both atheists. So I didn't really, you know, I didn't think about life after death. I wasn't an atheist, but I just didn't give it much thought. So that left me in a really difficult spot, Lisa. I didn't know how to answer that question, is my son still alive? Or the question, if he is, where the hell is he?
Right. Exactly. So what happened to kind of make you start to question this more? You know, was there an event? Was there an occasion that happened that?
Yes, there was one very specific event. I received a call from my militantly atheist father, okay? Very atheist. And he sounded very shaken. He said he had been sitting in his chair reading a book when all of a sudden he looks up and there's Eric standing right in front of him. And then he goes on to say that Eric turned into his little boy self and crawled up into his lap. So my father's like, I don't know what to believe. I'm so startled.
Right.
So that made me think, because he would never make up a story like that. Ever.
Right. Okay. And so then he told you that and it kind of sparked your interest and kind of sparked. Is that correct?
Yeah, it sparked the scientist in me, really.
Right.
And that's when I did start reading all the books on quantum physics that I could understand, at least. Papers on altered dimensions. I read studies, controlled studies on mediums. I read all sorts of things about near-death experiences and the accounts of those. And eventually, I sort of ran out of stuff to read. And so I'd heard that a lot of parents will try to connect with their child through a medium. So I thought, well, what have I got to lose? So I tried it.
Gotcha. Now, before you connected with the medium, had you had any experience yourself aside from your dad's with Eric?
Oh, yes, lots. And they were something else. For example, we have this downdraft event that sucks up all the smoke when I burn my cooking, you know, and stuff. And several days in a row, whenever my husband came into the kitchen, that would go up and then down again.
Wow.
And up and down, as if he was saying hello. But the thing is, we were remodeling our kitchen at the time, so there was absolutely no power to the kitchen.
Wow.
So it was doing this on its own. And I'd be sitting down in my chair, and all of a sudden, I'd see an airsoft BB manifest to the ceiling and drop to the floor. We've seen faucets slowly turn on all the way, not just a little dribble. There was one day, and this was really momentous, when I actually saw Eric for the first time. And that was just a delightful, delightful experience. I remember so well. It was probably a month after Eric died. I went to bed, and I started to lay down, but I didn't really even have a chance to put my head on the pillow, when there was Eric jumping from the left foot of my bed to the right and then back to the left and back to the right. And I saw my deceased sister Denise sitting on the left side looking at him and grinning. And I thought, I'm awake. This can't be happening.
Wow.
That's Eric. And I watch as he goes back and forth and back and forth. And then all of a sudden, Eric turns to me and looks completely shocked and says, Mom, you can see me.
Wow.
Wow. And then he falls into my arms and we hug. And I'm telling you, Lisa, that hug was completely solid. It was just uncanny.
I believe it. I believe it. Because you guys kind of, your vibrations tuned together so that you were able to do this, huh?
Exactly. He said that for a while he couldn't get in touch with me like he could with some of the other family members because my grief was so deep.
Right.
And what happens when you're really grief-stricken is your energetic vibration gets really low, well to the bottom of the visible range of the electromagnetic spectrum. That's the visible range, that tiny slice of the electromagnetic spectrum where our world is, where we can see things.
Right.
Spirits vibrate at a frequency outside and above that. And so he would have had to really lower his energetic vibration, his frequency, in order to get to me because I was just so down.
Yes, I can imagine. But then, again, you got to this place where you were able to open up some so that your vibration rose and you were able to meet at a place and boom,
exactly.
There he was. Now, what was your first experience like with a medium?
It was very interesting. I didn't give her any information on purpose, of course. She just
right.
knew my name and my credit card number. And when I called, she said, There's a young man here. He says he's your son and he took his life. And wow. So I let her go on and she described everything in such detail. The fact that he took his life by gunshot, self-inflicted gunshot wound. She told me exactly where he was sitting at his desk at the time. She shared what kind of gun it was. She shared the exact description of the clothing he was wearing and so on. And she was also able to capture the Eric personality, that mischievous, rascally, colorful language type personality that he has.
That's incredible. I'm sure Eric did that, because I'm sure Eric from the other side was looking at a bunch of people. Do you know what I mean? And led you to go to the right person that would work.
You're right.
And we're breaking for a commercial break right now. You're listening to the Om Times Radio Network, live with Lisa Phoenix and my special guest, Dr. Medhus. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome to the gathering around my kitchen table on Equilarium FM, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join my guests as we integrate spirituality into everyday reality with vibrant conversations, inspired interviews, and my latest channeled guidance to inspire and brighten your day. I'm Claire Johnson, and together we'll be raising vibrations across the nations.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi, this is Angela Levesque, host of Entanglement Radio. Join me Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science and conscious healing. Entanglement Radio, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. Transcendent talk for the conscious mind.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
Welcome back, everybody. You're live with Lisa Phoenix and my special guest, Dr. Medhus, and you're listening to Om Times Radio. Dr. Medhus, I was wondering if you would share with us, we know that Eric developed certain challenges in life, but I wanted to know, can you share with us what Eric was like as a child and what his personality was like and
very much like he is now since his passing. very, very happy, loving, very affectionate. I remember when he was, about 18 months old, I took him to the pediatricians to get his immunizations. And, poor little thing. He came. I brought him home. I was carrying him, and his thighs were just littered with all sorts of Band-Aids and his tear stains on his cheeks. And his father asked him, "Hey, how are you doing, Eric?" And Eric says, "I have a good time," and started patting me because he didn't want us to be bothered. He didn't want to upset us. And then as he grew older, he was the same way with his friends, just very loving.
Very.
He would really sweet, very good listener. He would go to the local Starbucks a lot to meet people, meet strangers, probably bum smokes too. He liked the cigs. And, for some reason, strangers gravitated toward the guy. They would just come up to him, sit down, and they'd talk. And then they'd start telling him, sharing their life story. And sometimes the story was sad, and they'd start crying. But then Eric would get up and wrap him in a big old hug and say, "Look, dude, I'm taking you home. My mom's going to cook you a homemade meal."
Really?
So, surprise! So I had to run to the market many occasions on that one.
But, so you had a lot of friends just showing up on your doorstep.
Yes, he took a lot of lost souls under his wings. I was looking at his Facebook messages after he died, and I saw so many messages. "Hey, I know you're going through a hard time. Would you like me to come over and sit with you for a while?" These were messages he sent to his friends, and but they were not particularly nice back.
Yeah, yeah. So he struggled with relationships in life.
Right.
Gotcha. Now, working, and then when you started working, her name's Jamie, correct? With the EM Spirit Translator. Mm-hmm. This, I would imagine that it was a process, right? Just, mm-hmm. And so as the process developed, and you were starting to really have that relationship again with Eric, was there a point in time where, and I'm not talking about proof of his existence right now. I'm talking about from a mom's perspective, where mm-hmm. you just felt that reconnect, click in. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it was pretty immediate.
Gotcha.
I think after we got a lot of our personal questions out of the way, like why, and did we do anything wrong? Could I have done anything to save you? And then I started asking questions about his death and did it hurt? Fortunately, it did not. Mm-hmm. What was it like? What happened afterwards? Where are you? What does it look like? And so on. As I got to know his new life, I connected to him on a deeper level. All of a sudden, our relationship wasn't about how can mama fix you, You're
right.
So miserable. Now it was, it reached a completely different, richer level, to tell you the truth.
No, and I think that's wonderful. And I think it's a great testament, though, to others out there, who do have children or other people that have passed. And that transition, from like, not that it's your fault or anything, but what could I have done? How could I have done things differently? To that transition to just being able to enjoy the relationship again.
That's right. And we're in a wonderful place right now. And I found out from him that his life was part of a spiritual contract he designed. He wanted to come down and suffer immensely so that he could develop the listening skills and the compassion and other tools that he would need to become the spirit guide that he is now.
Exactly. And would you be willing to tell us a little bit about that? Because I've read about it in your book, but I know a lot of listeners haven't read the book yet. And I really encourage you all to do so. It's available on Amazon. But can you tell us about, his journey on the other side at this point?
Well, right now he's a spirit guide. And he said that's pretty common in heaven. He said they're like taxi cabs in New York. And his job is to nudge human beings in the right direction. And he does that with the blog members all the time. He will lure them in. For example, one lady – actually, this happened to a couple of people. was at the bookstore, and my first book, My Son in the Afterlife, was on the shelf, and she was kind of in front. All of a sudden, the book flies off the shelf, like 2 feet away from the shelf. And so she picked it up, started reading, is now a member of the blog, and just a wonderful part of our community. Or he will make the blog homepage show up on their computer, even when they haven't been there before. Or he'll have just a picture of himself on somebody's computer. Yeah.
Oh,
it's just,
wow.
Just crazy stuff. or all of a sudden, he'll start playing one of our YouTube videos on their iPhone. So he tries to get their attention, and then subliminally gives them messages sometimes to set them on the right course or to give them comfort.
Gotcha. And I've also read that he's kind of drawn people together to help each other as well.
I have seen that. I have seen that. Some people in our community have even flown across the United States to meet each other and to see each other. They become fast friends. One woman from Ireland comes over and visits all the time. So it's just an amazing community. It really is.
Wow. And you originally started this blog to help express your own grief, right? Is that?
That's right. I heal best when I help others, and I love writing, and I just needed to pour something, all this pain out on the keyboard give other people a place, a very safe and supportive place where they could do the same thing.
Well, that's wonderful. Cause I mean, I encourage everybody to go and read the blog. And again, I want to say it's www.channelingeric, and that's Eric, ERIK.com, because there are some quite amazing stories on there. Do you want to share anything from there that really struck you?
As far as his inside or some of the stories from blog members?
Yeah, as far as him helping them and, you know.
Oh, sure. I think the first one, and we only had like 400 members, now it's almost 40,000.
Right.
The first one was this lady who lost her son just like I had, and she had been going to therapy for months, and it just didn't seem to be helping in her case. So after her last session, she decided she's going to kill herself. She got everything ready, and I can't remember how she was going to do it, but she got everything ready. But before she swallowed the pills or put the noose around her neck or pulled the trigger, she felt this really compelling urge to go to her computer and type in, "My son is dead." Up pops the Channeling Eric side. So she reads it from the very beginning to the end and makes a decision that she wants to live. And she's still such an active member of our community. I just find that so fulfilling.
No, it's absolutely wonderful. And there's so many stories like that of people just being drawn to this. And his reach is just becoming more and more and more. Wouldn't you say?
He reaches people all over the world and pranks them. They love being pranked by him, as long as he doesn't hover over their face when they're asleep and when they wake up go poo. But he does other things, leaves horrible smells or manifests himself. Or I know one of the first blog member pranks was with this gentleman, Damien from Ireland. And excuse me, he had seen pictures of Eric on the blog, of course. And he said, he emailed me and said, "Your son just came to me and was standing in front of me and said, 'Hey, dude, I bet I could tell you how far away your girlfriend is from you.'" And Damien's like, okay. He didn't know what to think. He had never seen a spirit before. And so Eric gave him X number of thousands of kilometers. She was far away. She was in Canada at the time. And Damien checked it out. And it was almost exactly on the point.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. Although, again, I'll say it's not amazing for spirit, you know?
That's true. I think he told me he got in trouble for that from the other spirit guides. He wasn't supposed to be just messing around trying to impress people.
But he's got to be who he is. Correct.
Well, that's true.
Now, in your book, I really like how he described like his typical day. Do you know? And again, it's like. It's wonderful how he starts out by his typical day is showing up for his family.
Yes, it's nice. You know, it was hard for him to describe that because there's no linear time there. There really is right. No linear time. That's just a human construct we have here on Earth.
Yes.
But he hangs out with us first and waits until everybody gets their day going. And then he goes to visit blog members and nudge them and prank them and do his work. And then he comes back home to us around dinner time and hangs with us. And I can feel his presence. It's just amazing. I mean, I know when he's sitting by me, I feel these intense, almost painful goosebumps on one part of my leg or my arm, et cetera. And he hangs with us, and then when everybody's in bed, he goes to the other time zone and does the same thing with, you know, pranks and nudges and helps blog members there. And then he spends some time just for himself, just to learn or to do some sort of solo activity. Like he loves to manifest he can manifest with his thoughts anything he wants. So he manifests a motorcycle and go really fast, for example.
Yeah. that's the thing too. I just want to say, because you brought it up before. Yes, there is no linear time over there. And one of the wonderful things about this book, and that all of you, I'm going to credit all of you on this, were able to accomplish is, you know, yes, I know there was the part, well, it's hard to describe. He keeps saying, oh, I don't have words for this and that, because I believe they don't, do you know, for some things that are going on in heaven. But you guys did such a fantastic job of bringing it, shall I say, to earth, if that makes sense.
So that's all Eric.
Yeah, so that people could understand, you know. And again, we have a commercial break here. You're live with Lisa Phoenix on the Om Time Radio Network, and my special guest, Dr. Medhus, will be right back. Please stay tuned.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Join Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jolish Hour, as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers, live, on air, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jolish Hour. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
What if living didn't have to be so serious?
What if you could move beyond your problems with greater confidence and ease than you've ever imagined?
Throw your labels out the window and join the Irreverent Therapist for practical tips and a very different way of approaching the changes you would like to create.
Marilyn Bradford
and Pam Hodling
have empowered hundreds of people to come out of self-judgment, quit looking to experts, and begin to create the lives they desire.
Join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Irreverent Therapist Show.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Well, Welcome back, everybody. You're on the Om Times Radio Network. You're live with Lisa Phoenix and my special guest, Dr. Medhus. I wanted to ask you, does Eric talk to you about, like, the time he spends with friends or other family members and stuff like that?
Well, he does talk a little bit about different ones. For example, he says at nighttime he will sit with his brother Lucas and help him with his energy, trying to heal his energy, because, you know, it was quite a shock for Lucas, who was very logic minded, very analytical when all this happened. So he's trying to help him come out of his shell about his, you know, surrounding his brother's death.
Gotcha. Has all this work that you, has that been helping him as well?
Oh, yes. It has helped all, everybody in our family. We just believe in such a different paradigm now. Everything has shifted. We understand spirituality. We understand the reason for the human experience. We understand so much more because Eric has taught us so much more. It's so weird because I was always the teacher for him. I homeschooled him for a while even. And here he is teaching me. It's quite the flip.
It's pretty amazing, huh? Isn't it? You must be so proud of him.
I am so proud. I really am.
Yes, I can just. Now, I know that Eric wrote this book, but you kind of put things together, didn't you?
You know, the tenses, sometimes he flip-flopped between tenses. Sometimes he shifted from second person to third person and then back again. So we had to straighten up stuff like that. Sometimes we needed to clarify things and we'd have to go back in sessions and get clarifications. So it was a laborious process. But most of what I did was type, just transcribe the recorded session.
Gotcha. But while you were doing that, though, what did you have a favorite part of the journey while you were, you know, transcribing and helping him produce this book?
Well, my least favorite was the death, because, you know,
he
shared some things that I didn't really want to know. And that was really, really hard for me, Lisa. I mean, there were times during that process that I almost gave up and didn't want to continue doing the project, but I know it was really important for him, so I continued. I somehow dug down deep and found the courage to continue. The most poignant, I think, were the goodbyes. I think I liked that the most. They were just so heartwarming and, oh gosh, just so poignant at the same time. When he went to each of us right after he died, before he went to his own funeral, to sit and tell us what he had learned from us, from each of us.
Yeah, and let me just tell you, I think that was one of my favorite parts of the as well, because, and I think people don't realize that when people pass, that they do that, because so many people are not aware, you know, they can't feel spirit.
Well, especially right after they die, because, you know, I was completely numb. I would not have been able to pick up on him at all at that point. So I'm glad to know that he did hang out and visited me. He saved me for the last, because he had to work up the courage, because he knew. You know, he said, "Mom, you're in trouble with Mama." No, he knew how deeply in pain I was.
And can you share with us maybe some of the things that he that were in those goodbyes to the different family members?
Oh, well, we talked about Lucas, how he learned, you know, Lucas takes his time with his decision, and he learned that you don't always just, you know, jump head first. It's okay to stick your toe in the water and to circle around the pool, et cetera, before you jump in. With Christina, his eldest
here
sister.
We go. I just heard a thing on the line.
Uh-oh. Did he say something? He probably did. But, yeah, Christina, she holds her heart close to her chest. And he did not. He just had his heart all exposed. So he learned from her.
Sometimes it's good to protect your heart.
And even though that might make some people aloof or disinterested,
it's still important. He learned how to protect his heart in certain circumstances.
Gotcha. Yes. And he visited each one of your family members. He visited Dad and his sisters and everything else, huh?
Right. And one friend and the housekeeper that really has been with us for 22 years, I think now. She was the first one. She was the only one at home when Eric shot himself. We had just left the house to go to lunch. And so she was the first one to witness it, too. It was very difficult for her. So he spent a lot of time with her.
Gotcha. No, I just think it's wonderful. And the stories in the book were just so touching. Do you know what I mean? With him spending time with each one and talking about what he learned from each one and giving them his energy and stuff. I just thought that was just incredibly amazing.
Yeah, and I learned from the things that he learned, I learned too. And I learned when he was talking to Uncle Jim, who he called Jimbo. Jim has an incredible work ethic, and he learned from Uncle Jim that sometimes you have to do something that's unpleasant, you know. You have to work like a dog at something you don't like. Some days will be tough. And, you know, it's an opportunity for us to learn that too, that sometimes you just got to do what's right, even if it's not always palatable.
Exactly. And through his sister, he was very candid and very honest about, I think, one of his sisters who, you know, went through some anger towards him, you know, for leaving, you know,
he
totally stepped up and took responsibility for that.
Oh, yeah.
It's just wonderful. How he's so candid and honest. And has he expressed to you what kind of education that he's getting over on the other side?
Yeah, well, they have all sorts of things that you can do. You can actually go to lectures, but he never did like that in school in life, so he does not do that. But he says that you can absorb information just by merging with the energy field. They have, for example, a library, this awesome library. Maybe there's more than one. I really need to ask him that. And you can take a book and merge with its contents and pretty much download all the information. But the only requirement is you have to be aware that exists, that information exists. So if you want to learn about another dimension that you might be interested in traveling with, you can merge with a book about that, or you can merge with a fellow spirit who has already been there and knows a lot about it.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. And has he talked at all? And I mean, whether it be through the book or through channeling, or has he talked about at all about different dimensions?
Oh, yeah, he's talked about one that he goes to that's pretty chaotic because he wants to learn a little bit about chaos. And it doesn't operate by the same rules as the physics that our dimensional plane works at. I can't remember the specifics, but he says there are dimensions that have different rules of physics. I thought that was the scientist in me makes me think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, wow.
But he said there are places, dimensions where the beings are, you know, a-holes, I'll say in his is his words. And but he kind of likes to hang around them and mess with them, I guess, knowing Eric. But he can also explore any place on Earth, too. If he wants to go to Venice, he just thinks of Venice, and there he is. Wouldn't you love to be able to travel like that, Lisa?
That would be amazing.
No more frequent flyer miles. It would just be awesome. No more TSA lines.
Right. And I think not only that, but I also think about communicating with each other. I think it would be great if the channels opened up so we could just thought, okay, you got it. You knew what I was thinking. Bypass all the BS.
Oh, you bring up such a good point because he loves that. It's everybody is vulnerable and open. There are no secrets. There's no hiding anything between spirits and it's okay. You know all their emotions and everything. And when you merge with them, with their energetic field, there is nothing that is concealed at all. And it's just a beautiful thing. He preaches vulnerability, that we ought to learn that vulnerability is not a position of weakness. It's a position of power. It's being completely emotionally honest with yourself and with others.
Yeah, no, I think that's wonderful. But when you were saying that, I was thinking to myself, you know, that must have taken a little getting used to, going from, you know, one to all of a sudden where everything's completely open. Did he have to kind of transition with that a bit?
Well, what he had to transition with is the unconditional love, this feeling that everything is okay, because it was going on and it kept going on and on, this feeling of everything's going to be okay. Everything is okay. And he was just always wondering, when is the other shoe going to drop? He just felt like this can't keep going on. It's too good. Everything on earth that he experienced that was good always came to an end. But what he experienced then is still experiencing now. And he realized that it's not going to end.
Yeah. And I think, He's so, from what I've witnessed, he is so good at trying to help people know that that's the case. I mean, how many people in this world do feel like, you know, well, at any minute, the other shoe's about to drop or the hammer's going to come down, you know? And he seems to be able to help people broaden their perspective and their belief systems.
That's true.
We have to take another commercial break here. You're on the OM Times Radio Network, live with Lisa Phoenix and my special guest, Dr. Medhus. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
If you remember living fearlessly, joyfully, and in a world filled with adventure, happiness, pleasure, and unbridled living, then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, as I bring you the world's top experts in wealth, creativity, flow, seat edging technology, space, wellness, health, love, lust, and passion, all merging together each week here at the Hub of Happiness. Mondays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Passionate Living, where you can ride on the magic carpet ride of living and learn how to lead a passionately wild, exciting, and outrageously amazing life.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
September 23rd, mark that down on your calendar, put it in your phone, whatever you do, circle that date, 9 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio. Yes, it is the return of the Joe Show. We will come back live with season 9. Wow, 9 seasons. I can only think of 4. Winter, spring, summer, fall, salt, pepper, oregano, and thyme. No, anyways, we don't have that much time. We're going to be back live September 23rd. Don't forget forget, 9 p.m. Eastern, here on Home Times Radio.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back, everybody. You're on Om Times Radio, live with Lisa Phoenix and my special guest, Dr. Medhus. I wanted to ask you, I know you work with mediums and stuff like that, but do you also... channel Eric or talk to Eric directly?
Yes, I do, but I don't use any of that for the blog. It's just for my own personal use. And it's been really hard to do that because I have so many little monkeys scurrying around in my brain. It's very hard for me to make my mind quiet. I'm always thinking things like, oh, did I unload the dishwasher? and things like that when I'm trying so hard. But Eric taught me that if I listened on earphones to something called binaural beats, with a frequency of between 14 and 16 hertz, and you can download it at iTunes and maybe for free, then it really opens up the channel, and it really does. I can communicate so much better. When I hear him, it's in his voice almost always, but sometimes it'll flip-flop in my voice. But it comes right behind, right beside and behind my right ear.
Yes, and that, yeah, and that's how it happens, yes. And so are you kind of, and I'm not talking about the blog now or anything. I am talking about you and your relationship with him. So are you kind of expanding on that and you know, growing into it more and more?
As far as the channeling is concerned?
Yeah.
I practice. Yeah. I practice every time I take a bubble bath. That's my channeling time. But no, when I'm sitting out in the yard, I'll talk to him. When I'm going on hikes, I'll talk to him. I don't practice enough, I'll be honest.
Oh.
But it's been so busy with the book and such.
Of course. Of course. And you've been doing so many shows, and then you're doing your YouTube stuff. But I just felt like, you know, I just think that that's so good for you, just moving forward with that for your own personal thing, you know? And I know I really get a sense that he really loves those times that he spends with you directly, you know?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Again, what do you know? And I know it's up to Eric because he's kind of leading the journey on this, right? And he's leading what do you have coming up? What's next for you guys?
I'm going to take a little breather. No, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do pretty much the same thing, except we're considering the blog members want us to start a column in a magazine. I don't know which. And like a Dear Abby column, but with Eric. Ask Eric. Everybody wants to ask Eric about personal questions regarding their career, love life, health, spiritual mission, and so on. And so it would just be my way of getting Eric out to the public on a more individualized basis than before. It all, you know, depends on I pay for everything myself, and I refuse to get any monetary compensation for anything.
Right.
No donations, nothing. So, of course, that depends on the cost factors, et cetera. So that's my only limitation, really, that and time.
Got you. And is there – and again, I don't know – I wasn't sure what I was looking at, but are you guys considering doing like a documentary or something that's
– Oh, yeah. Somebody from a documentary producer interviewed me, came from Norway to here to interview me and my family, and also went to Atlanta to interview Jamie. And he's putting together this wonderful documentary that has other people like Deepak Chopra and Anita Murjani and Dean Radden and all sorts of greats. I just feel like so blessed to be in that same crowd. And I think it's coming out in November and will be distributed through Simon & Schuster. But it's basically about – starts out with the nature of consciousness itself and the science behind it, etc. And then it, there's more talk about soul survival, consciousness survival after death. And then the ultimate piece is the channeling Eric piece where, all right, now we're on the other side. This is what's going on.
I think it's amazing. And I really think it's great that you guys are moving forward because he's had such an impact already. And when I did my research on all this, I read the good, I read the bad, I read, everything. And he's had such a positive influence on so many people. And so many people are now learning, in a way that they can understand, because there's been so much stuff out there, as you know, in your own research, about the other side and this or that. But he's really expressing it in a practical way. I think a lot of that stuff just kind of flew over people's heads,
Yeah, well, a lot of what you hear are these spiritual sages from the other side that start out with, "Welcome, my dear one." And Eric is not like that. He's very casual and blunt, uses a lot of metaphors. You feel like you're just sitting in a living room talking to him,
Yeah.
The reviews on Amazon for his book, My Life After Death, are just incredible. It's just people don't want to put it down. They've stayed up all night reading it. They wouldn't go to work the next day. It's changed their life. They're not afraid of death, etc. So I don't think it's gotten less than 5 stars on any review. So I'm just so proud of him and what he's doing to help so many people.
Yeah, and he's so good about the word I just want to use is breaking it down. You know what I
breaking
mean?
It
breaking
down.
It down
right.
For people. And I just, but I will tell you though, because I've talked to quite a few people, and nine out of the 10 people I talked to, and I'm using that as a metaphor, they also said that your first book was a page turner. And that they couldn't put it down. And that I had one woman say that she sat there and she just like read it into the wee hours of the morning because she didn't want to stop.
That's so nice to hear. I think Eric's book is better though. I really do. I guess, because it healed me.
Right.
I mean, I don't feel that deep, dark, horrible grief that used to consume me. Now I know so much more about death, about his death, about his journey, about his life as a spirit, what it's like, his new home, heaven, what it's like in great detail. So now it's more of a feeling like I just miss him,
Right.
I feel like he's studying abroad in Germany, and he's just going to come home with his dirty laundry in a few days. But it really has done a lot to heal me personally.
Yeah, and I really see you guys as a team. I just see you guys as a team doing this together. And I would venture to say that he sees it the same way, and that just as it's so fulfilling for you, it's so fulfilling for him too.
Right. Well, that's true. I've given the platform by having the blog and the YouTube channel and so on. And Jamie and others, we use other spirit translators sometimes too. That's his voice. So I guess we're the three musketeers, and we work together well. We really do.
Yeah, and again, it does. It seems like you guys have a bond that is kind of, I almost want to say, goes beyond mother and son.
A lot of people have said that.
Yeah, I just really get that sense that it goes beyond that, and we're kind of running low on time here, but if you could tell everybody something, the blog members, everybody, what would it be that you'd like to say to everybody?
I think what I would say would be to continue the relationship with your loved one. There's just no reason why you should cut them off the minute they die. Death is just a transition into another dimension. It's not the end.
Gotcha. And I agree with you 200%.
I know you do.
And I also, I also believe that's the same thing that Eric would like to communicate to everybody too. And I also get a sense though, from reading your book and everything, how important it is for him at this point. He wants people to kind of believe in themselves and have faith in themselves. I got a lot of that from reading your book.
That's right. And to love themselves.
Right, right. It kind of all goes hand in hand.
It sure does. It sure does.
So once again, Dr. Medhus, I want to thank you so much for being on the show this morning.
And, well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. This was fun.
And yeah, and I also want to thank you for giving us the honor of letting us get to know Eric a little bit and what he's doing and what he's about. For all of you out there in Radioland, again, I really would like you to go check out this blog. It's www.channelingeric.com, and that's Eric with a K. And I would also encourage all of you to get the books, My Life After Death, A Memoir from Heaven, available from Amazon. And Dr. Medhus's other book, My Son in the Afterlife, Conversations from the Other Side. Please, they're both available on Amazon. Live with Lisa Phoenix is on every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 10 a.m. Pacific Time. So please tune back in with us next week. Thank you so much. Have a great
day,
everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.